The rain ended the night of 5 to 6 June. I'll never forget the sensation of profound physical relief when I removed my soaked, muddy boondockers for the first time in approximately 2 weeks. As I pulled off my slimy, stinking socks, bits and shreds of dead flesh sloughed off the soles of my feet. A buddy, Myron Tessero, commented on the overpowering odor, only to discover that his feet were just as bad. My socks, a pair of khaki-colored woolen army socks, thicker and heavier than our white Marine Corps issue, were so slimy and putrid I couldn't bear to wash them in my helmet. I had traded a candy bar to a soldier for them back in April. They were my prized possession because of their comfort when wet. With regret, I threw my prized socks aside and spaded dirt over them as though covering up a foul corpse. It was great to wash my feet, holding them up on an ammo box to let the sun shine on them while I wiggled my toes. Everybody got his feet clean and dry as soon as possible. Mine were extremely sore and red over the entire soles, almost to the point of bleeding. All of the normal friction ridges of the skin had sloughed off, and the soles were furrowed with deep reddish grooves. But after drying them in the sun and putting on dry socks and boondockers, they soon felt better. Months passed, however, before the soles appeared normal again. We had our mortars set up in pits at the base of the low ridge, along which the Company K line was dug in. George Sarrett and I had a regular two-man foxhole on the ridge next to a road cut that came through at right angles to the ridge. During the nights we were there, we mortarmen took turns on the guns and fired flares periodically over our company area. Between patrols and nightly vigils, we began to get rested and dried out. We had airdrops of supplies, food, water, and ammo. During the day, we could build campfires and heat rations, which all enjoyed. We had 10-in-1 rations there, always a welcome change from C and K rations. The method of airdrop used to supply water had not been perfected then. The water was contained in long plastic bags, four of which were stored in a metal cylinder attached to the parachute. Quite often, the impact of the cylinder hitting the deck caused one or more of the bags to break, and some or all of the water in it was lost. We always had a lot of fun when supplies were airdropped to us, even though it was hard work running through the mud collecting up the ammo, rations, and other supplies attached to the brightly colored chutes. Most of the time, Marine torpedo bombers made the drops while flying low over us. Their accuracy was remarkable. During the periods when deep mud covered much of the battlefield, we always welcomed a clear day, not only because we hated the rain, but because it meant our planes could be up and supply us with airdrops. Otherwise, supplies had to be manhandled miles through the mud. While we were in reserve, another mortarman and I were sent on a routine mission to carry a message to the West Coast regarding supplies. It was the kind of ordinary thing every infantryman was called on to do many times. Typically, it was good duty, because we were temporarily out from under the eagle eye of the company gunny sergeant, could move at our own pace, and do a little sightseeing along the way through areas already fought over and secured. It wasn't considered hazardous. Our instructions were straightforward. Our company gunny, Hank Boys, told us to keep on the main east-west road all the way to the beach and back. He told us who to contact and what to ask for. Then he warned us against screwing around souvenir hunting and cautioned us about the possibility of bypassed enemy.
This ends Disc 11.